Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
For the privilege to worship, to love you and to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for the quickening of your spirit. We've not chosen you because we are wise. We've chosen you because you've helped us. And so even tonight, we are persuaded that you open our hearts to understand and to follow, even as you show us great and mighty things that our eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, neither has occurred to the heart of man. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. Again, you're welcome to Bible study. Thank you for coming. I know weekdays can be a bit difficult in Abuja. Having, had to go to work morning to evening and then come straight to church, it's a serious matter, but we give God praise for teaching us to know him, to love him, and to honor him. Tonight I want to share with us briefly on a very sensitive subject. The things we are teaching, we are deliberate about it. And I want you to also be deliberate. It's important to know truth, master its application before the day of trouble. Because if you are getting to know truth in times of trouble, or you are learning to apply it in times of trouble, you will fail. And you see, life, I'm a scientist. Usually when we go to the lab to carry out experiments, they are lab rats that they use for experiments. and you have the liberty to fail and try again. In fact, you do it many times. It's called a hypothesis before it is internationally acclaimed, accepted, and validated to become a law. Life is not like that. It's lived once. And after you live your life, you will be demanded of God to give account. And so you can't go to heaven and say, sorry, I made a mistake. I'm coming back to learn again. That opportunity is not there. It's lived once, forever and ever. This is why you've got to learn truth, master truth. So when the crisis of life comes, instead of pulling you down, it becomes an opportunity for you to give glory to God and to earn reward in eternity. And so the things we are teaching, they are very sensitive. It's in the face of crisis you will realize their significance and sensitivity. For example, on Sunday, it looked very casual. We were talking about the name of Jesus. But I can tell you the reason people fall and the reason people stand is because some understand the power of that name and use it correctly, while others don't. And so the circumstance that becomes a promotion for one man can be the same circumstance that destroys another. The difference between who is standing and who is falling is their revelation and application of that revelation. And nothing is as significant as understanding and applying correctly the name of Jesus Christ. I took time to show us that all the names of God in the Old Testament, amongst other things, captures three things. Number one, it reveals the nature and the character of God. Number two, it reveals the will of God. And number three, it reveals the abilities of God. And I reveal to us how that all the names of God captured in the Old Testament are encapsulated in the person and in the name of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible said, it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And I reveal to us that as touching the name, he gave him a name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he embodied the Godhead, and he bore a name that was representative of the totality of the Godhead. This is why I said, we believe in the name of Jesus, we are saved by the name of Jesus, we are baptized into the name of Jesus, we receive eternal life by believing in the name of Jesus, and we cast out devils by the name of Jesus, we have victory in life by the name of Jesus. As important as this subject is, there are many persons who never understood it and who are not applying it. Every time they have problem, they run to people, and they come back through that same cycle to the same spot, going nowhere in life. And they will not sit down and learn and apply what can make the difference in their lives. The worst thing is that we love emotions so much. And when it's emotional, we are okay. And these emotional things we do most of the times take us nowhere, because there is no understanding at the foundation. This is why sometimes you have to settle down to learn the facts, apply the facts, and then begin to check the results you are making and, you know, calibrate your progress. Tell yourself, I was here, now I'm here, and this is where I'm going. This is what I did to live here, to get to this place, and this is what I know I must do to live where I am now, to get to where I ought to be. When you start living deliberately like that, you'll discover that your life will not just be more impactful, but you will fulfill destiny, and you will fulfill destiny faster. And there is no joy in fulfilling destiny late. I know we talk about process, but process is not... Maybe I should start this message first. We talk about process, but if you are not careful, you will discover that you are set back in life, and you will assume you are going through process. Process does not mean you should fulfill destiny late. Process actually means align to God early, understand what God wants, do it, and make progress. So, not fulfilling destiny has nothing to do with process, and fulfilling destiny late has nothing to do with process. You can finish process at 25, and you will impact your world, change your world at 25. And you may realize that there is such a thing as process at 90. Your age is not what determines the speed of process.
And number two, your own process may take you 10 years. Yours may take you 20 years. It may take somebody else 6 months. That it took you 10 years does not mean everybody should go through process in 10 years. That it took you 20 years does not mean the timetable for process is 20 years. It's when you align to the will of God that your process completes. And your process can take 3 months, it can take 6 months, it can take 1 year, it can take 10 years, it can take 20 years, depending on your degree of yieldedness. The day you comply and understand and align, your process comes to an end. So two things you need to learn is that fulfilling destiny late has nothing to do with process. And number two, the time it took you to complete your process is not a timetable for every other person. Are we together? Because if you are not careful, you will be wasting away thinking you are in the school of process. You are not. I taught you already on process, so I can speak like this. How many of you remember the 7 classes in the school of process? I taught on it extensively, so I can say some of these things. And I'm saying this because most times in Africa, we don't pay attention to facts and apply them. We are just excited doing what we are doing without regard or recourse to results or whether we are making progress or not. We are just there. You meet some people, they say they are praying. And they are just there praying. Ah, they say, no, this country, we must take over Nigeria. And they have prayed for 15 years. And there's nothing wrong in praying if you are called to be an intercessor. But if you are a businessman and you are in one location praying for 15 years, something is wrong with you. If you are a lecturer and you are in one location praying for 20 years, something is wrong with you. If you are not a core intercessor, pray and be making progress in other aspects of your life. Are you following what I'm saying? But if you are called and your life assignment is to intercede for the nation until it's delivered, sit there. You will score more marks sitting in one place. And somebody else will score more marks moving from place to place or doing other things that God has committed to you. You need to understand these things. And the only way you can understand these things is to find out how spiritual things are done and begin to check your progress. This spirituality of not marking your progress and just doing something and you are excited about it is foolishness. There are people today, they are just in one location doing nothing. When you ask them, they say they are in the school of process. This person is in the school of process, yet he wastes 20 hours of every 24 hours. He went somewhere because God told him to go to a mountain and pray. And in this mountain, after 3 weeks, he has 5 friends. And they will talk from morning to evening. They will move around, waste their lives. And after 7 years, they say, we have been on this mountain for 7 years. You have been distracted for 7 years. But we are not taught to check the progress of our lives. Because you are emotional about it, does not mean you are making progress. So it's high time we reduced some of the undefined emotions and find out this thing we are doing, what is the progress we are making? What is the level of mastery we are gaining? What is the level of impact we are making? And begin to judge our lives honestly and factually. Because if we continue like this, there will be a vacuum in our generation and God will raise another. Because God's assignment must continue. And when God starts raising the next generation, don't you dare be jealous and come and start saying, when do you think you came here? Do you know how long we have been praying? You have been praying, you didn't take responsibility. The next generation came up, and in addition to prayer, they are taking other responsibilities and God is using them. What is your business? You now come and say the guy is 19 years old and he wants to show everybody that he's here. You are not winning souls. The brother is winning souls. God will open doors for him to win souls. What is your business? This is the problem we have. And it's because our Christianity is not factual. I know you have been studying and you have read your Bible cover to cover. But what have you used that revelation for? I know you have been praying and you have prayed there for 4 years. But what are the things you can point and say, this is what my prayer did? These are the things you must begin to do so that you don't waste your life. That's not my message. Praise God. Tonight, I want to share with us on a subject I've titled Operations of the Spirit of This Age. There are too many young people wasting.
If you come to church today and say, how many of you understand anything about leadership? Come this way. You'll be amazed. You can come to a church where people are on fire for God, and you now say, please, we need a governor. We need three people to go to the Senate, and we need young people. When you say young men come on board, be careful. You may be shocked. Don't just shout young people. We need young people. We need young people. You'll be shocked. Because if you, who is the young man, is not ready, what makes you feel the next young man is ready? If they send you to the Senate today, do you have something to say? What if they call you now randomly and say, speak to the world about the problem of Nigeria and what should be done? Don't look at anybody. Just imagine you are the only young person here. And they now call you and say, what is the challenge of Nigeria and what do you think we should do? What should you do about the economy? What should you do? What will you say? Because not all of us here will be preachers. There are few who are preachers, who are praying, fasting, and they are doing well. But not all of us will be preachers. How many of us can go to the economic sector and make impact? How many of us can go to government and make impact? This is the crisis we are having. And that time has come for everybody to wake up. Because our world will place a demand on us. The kingdom will place a demand on us. And when that time comes, be ready. Don't look at any other person. If you are not ready, assume nobody is ready. And so wake up and prepare yourself. Assuming, make the assumption that you are the only person available to make the difference. If everybody begins to think like that, there will be a change. There will be a change. Very serious change. But it will begin from you beginning to vet and score your spirituality. Don't just do things for the fun of it. When you pray, ask yourself, what are the impacts generated by this prayer? First of all, on me, how am I being transformed by this prayer? Number two, what are the unanswered questions that have been answered because I'm praying? Don't just rank yourself and say, I've prayed for 5 years. I have energy for prayer. Stop that nonsense. When you stand up and you are quoting scriptures, ask yourself, these scriptures I'm quoting, to what degree have they impacted my life? And how many impact am I seeing around me based on this scripture I am quoting? You're going to music. If you are singing, ask yourself, begin to ask yourself deliberate questions. I'm coming to church every Tuesday and every Sunday. What is the impact it has on me? And what is the impact it's having through me? If there's no impact, sit down and analyze the thing very carefully. Is it that this thing is not impactful, or am I the one not making the most of it? And then you begin to take dressing. If it is impactful, then it means there's a problem with you. You will now ask yourself, what do I do before I go? When I go, what should I be doing while I'm there? So that you don't waste your life. There's too much wastage in our generation. If you are coming here every Sunday and every Tuesday, and it's not impacting your life, sit down. Ask yourself, is this place I'm going to impactful? If it's not, I better stop and look for something else. If it is, and I'm the one not connected, then I need to find out what I need to do. Because by all means, after 6 months, it must count. Because if it doesn't count, I've just wasted 6 months of my destiny. That's how to live your life. Praise God. Praise God. Are you ready for tonight's message? So tonight, we'll look at the operations of the spirit of this age. And I'm sharing this tonight because, partly because of what I've highlighted, and also because there is a serious warfare ongoing. And if you don't realize it, you will just sit through time and not make any impact at all. The worst thing to realize at old age is to realize that you wasted your youth. That's the worst thing to realize at old age, that your youth never counted. If you realize that at old age, you will never find fulfillment. The reason many people retire and die is not because they didn't work hard while they were young, but they just realized they were not impactful. And so when they sit down, their life is full of regrets. They keep thinking of the many things they should have done that they never did. And they are wondering, how
is it that life just ran through so quick and they never laid hold on anything? When did they become 30, 40, 50, and now they are 80 years old and they can't point at what they have done? It's because they didn't realize that life is a warfare. They thought life was funfair, and as they are enjoying themselves through life, they didn't know that every clock ticking, there was a battle in the spirit for their soul and for their souls and for the necessary impact that they should have made. And so when you wake up to the realization that we are in a warfare, you will take dressing and begin to live in a more purposeful manner. And so what you need to understand in order to align yourself correctly in this battle is the operations of the spirit of this age. If you understand how the spirit of this age function, you will know what to do for every second of your life to count. I was listening to a great man of God earlier today, and he said, I've never seen myself on television. He is too busy making impact that there's no time for him to check and see what he's saying. So long as he's concerned, when he has gone, he has moved ahead. There's no time to come. See, the way some people are living this life, if you look at yourself, you will be afraid what you will tell God when you return to heaven. The man said, I've never seen myself on television. Every day he returns home, everybody is asleep. He comes back home every day, 2 a.m. and he leaves the house 5 a.m. When will he watch TV? He is too busy. Meanwhile, you have watched everybody that is on TV. You have watched all of them. There is a serious homework going on in the spirit realm. Spirits are fighting, and you need to understand how they operate. Before I go into the operation, let me say a few things about this age. The word age is actually the word aeon. I begin the teaching now. It's the word aeon. And the word aeon simply means a period of time in reality, in the spectrum of reality. A period of time. Now, time is actually calculated in terms of ages and generations. Generations are subsets in the set called age. Every age has many generations. In fact, if you study the scriptures closely, you will discover that there are three ways generations are counted, either as 40 or as 70 or as 100 years. There are certain contexts where generations are calculated as 100 years. In Genesis chapter 15, when God was speaking to Abraham, he told Abraham, for example, that your children will be in captivity for four generations. Then I will save them. When we studied Israel, they were in captivity for 430 years. That means one generation is 100 years. There are other contexts where a generation is called 40 years. For example, he said the generation that left Egypt perished in the wilderness. And we know that they were in Egypt in the wilderness for 40 years. So 40 years, 70 years, and 100 years are the timelines in which generations are calculated. And every age has a set of generations encapsulated in them. So while an age is a period of time, a generation is a subset in that period of time that is called an age. Are we together? Now, when you enter into the context of eternity, eternity is called the realm of forever and ever. But when you check your scripture, you will discover that it is called aeons of aeons. So what the Bible calls forever and ever is actually ages of ages. So if you come into the context of eternity, eternity is an aggregation of aeons. That's why you hear me teach you many times that when this age is come to an end, God will start another project. Because before the age of man was activated, there was the age of spirits, where everybody in the civilization of God were spirits. But when God wanted to start a new project, he decided to create another age where he included man into his realities. So eternity is an aggregation of ages. Now, this age that we are in, there is a testimony of God that has already been spoken concerning this age. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible made a striking remark about this age. He said concerning Jesus, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That word, the word used there is the word aeon. It's actually the word age. So what the Bible is telling us is that this age we are in is an evil age. This set of time that we are finding expression in is an evil set of time. Our generation is trapped in an evil age. So if you are walking through this age and you assume that things will be fair, you are a novice and you will be a victim. Because in the context of the divine, this age has already been judged and it has been called an evil age. Number two thing you need to realize about this age is that this age has a God. God Almighty is the sovereign God. But there is another God that has been enthroned over this age. I'm saying this so you understand that life is a warfare. Because many people are walking through life hoping things will work for them. Things don't work for people by chance. There is a spirit that rules this age. There is a philosophy and an ideology by which this age is run. And the first thing you need to understand is that this is an evil age. This is why your friend will betray you. Because if your friend does not win the war of this age, he will know where that evil will enter his or her heart to fight you. He will know why he wants you to go down. He's walking through an atmosphere characterized with evil, and an atmosphere regulated by a God. You know, most people think God is in charge of this world. If God is the one in charge of this world, then he's doing a bad job. Somebody asked Reinhard Bonnke that if you claim, I don't want to run too fast. I will explain certain things to you as I go forward. There is another God ruling this world. It's not everything God wants that is happening now. As far as God is concerned, he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are all men saved? Because there is another force that has taken a legal authority to make sure not only what God wants finds expression. And so for what God wants to happen, there must be a force that makes it happen. When you find a man living right, he's not living right just because he wants to. He has passed a battle. He has fought a good fight. He is standing as a victor. His good life is a testimony of victory in battle. And a man who thinks living right is cheap, let him try it. You will not know when you will be swept off your feet, even though you want to do the right thing. You will find yourself falling again and again. Then you will understand that there are forces regulating things in this realm. And not because God does not have the authority to stop things, but according to his own sovereignty, he has designed a structure, and there is an authority he gave to man that he lost. And so God will not sabotage an authority that he gave. So the reason God is not in charge is not because God cannot be in charge. It's because God delegated authority, and that authority was handed to the wrong person. And until this age comes to an end, it will be illegal for God to hijack things. He's not a hijacker. So this is an evil age. When you go out there to your office, you can't be naive. You are in an evil age. When you are in a relationship, you can't be naive. You are in an evil age. When you are starting a family, you can't be naive. You are in an evil age. If you are, you will be a victim many times. And before you are 40, your life may end. Not because you are wrong, but because you are in an evil age. And your naivety will be your greatest undoing. Number two, there is a God over this age. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid. Most of these scriptures, you know them. I'm just trying to create a set of truth and understanding in your mind. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this age, the Almighty God is still sovereign, but he gave this age under the care of another God that abused that authority and lost it. And so the new God of this age, he said his job is to blind the hearts of men so that he can make them a slave to himself. So there is a God. What does that go to tell you? Nothing happens by chance. Everything you see happening is a deliberate orchestration, because there is a God monitoring all the events taking place. The accident that happened is not by chance. The accident that did not happen is not by chance. The favor you receive is not by chance. The favor you did not receive is not by chance. With the things that happen and the things that don't happen, all of them are orchestrated. And if you want to walk in a certain direction, you have to grow from watching things happen to start making things happen. Because there is a way to live in this age. If you don't live like that, you'll be a victim. The people that died today, they didn't die by chance. And those who are alive today, they are not alive by chance. Everything working under this age is deliberately orchestrated. God created the pattern, but the gods came to manipulate the equation. In John chapter 9 from verse 1, Jesus saw a man that was born blind. And the disciples said, who seen that this man was born blind? And Jesus said, nay, it was not his father, it was not the man. There is another spirit that is controlling and manipulating the affairs of this age. And they said that the glory may go to the father. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. That means anything you see happening, we make it happen. And the day we stop making things happen, then the will of the wicked spirit of this age will find expression. I'm telling you why Christians cannot afford to be irresponsible. And it's not just enough to be responsible. You have to be fruitful, positively responsible. You cannot just be responsible without fruits. Every act of responsibility you engage yourself in, make sure there are verifiable evidences. Are we together? We are in an evil age. There is an evil God ruling this evil age. The good news about this evil age is that it will come to an end. Matthew 13 verse 49. It says, so shall it be at the end of this age. If this age will not end, we would have been in trouble. But thank God, this age will come to an end. You know, we are walking through this age, but we are not of this age. The Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4 to 6. It spoke about wielding the power of the age to come. And so there are many men who are walking in this age already. They have stepped out of this age to the next age. They are already operating by another form of power. Those are the true overcomers of this age. Because if you don't touch the power of the age to come, this age will swallow you up. The good news is that this age will come to an end. But the best news is that you don't have to wait for this age to come to an end. While you are yet walking through this age, you can be wielding the powers of the age to come. And as I show you the operations of the spirit of this age, I will also show you what you need to do. That while you are yet walking in this age, you are wielding the power of the ages to come. That is what makes you an overcomer. You are not an overcomer just because you are a Christian. You are an overcomer because you have known what to do to touch the powers of the ages to come. There are many people, their lives are flamboyant today. Give it time. If you have not touched those powers, anything happening to you today can be edited. And it can be edited negatively. But if you don't want your life to be edited negatively, there must be something you carry. And so when they want to touch, you say, no, it's not yet time. You know why? Because regulation of time in this age is not in heaven, it's in the church. It's not in heaven. The Bible said in Galatians 4:1 that the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he's the Lord of all. He said, so the father appointed tutors and governors. That means the time the child comes to maturity, that is the time the change will happen. So if the child wants to provoke the change early, he aligns early. If he aligns late, the change comes late. If he aligns early, the change comes early. But as touching the culminative end of the age is a function of the corporate body of Christ. And what will bring the age to an end? Matthew 24 verse 14. He said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a witness. Then the end shall come. Three things about the age. It's an evil age. Number two, there is an evil God that rules this evil age. Number three, this evil age will come to an end. And number four, the church will determine when this age will come to an end. When the church is able to preach the gospel of the kingdom, they will completely immobilize the power of the God of this age, and this age will cease to exist. Are you seeing that? So you are in an evil age. There is an evil God mapping out everything you are doing, trying to influence you, trying to change the outcomes of your life. You can stop the operation of that God if you know what to do. And so tonight, the reason we are doing this Bible study is to find out what the spirits of the age do, and then to know what to do to stop their effect and to triumph while we are yet living in this age, until the time of the age to come. This has nothing to do with Africa. Many people think there are demons in Africa. There are more demons in Europe than there are in Africa. Travel to Europe and you will see that the level, everything happening there is on a higher scale than is happening in Africa. You just see wickedness, people die, and you see poverty, and you think that's all. Those are the least things in the operations of darkness. When you see the level of moral decadence in certain European nations, you will find out if these people are really humans. The level of evil concupiscence, the level of sensuality. You are strolling in a park, people are having sex. I mean, you wonder whether they can, even animals can contain themselves. That's the level of darkness. It is so bad that you are not even permitted to say the truth. If you say it, they can arrest you. There are many quarters where if you preach, they call it intolerance, because they don't want to tamper with the evil conscience of society. They think this thing you are saying will make people wake up to truth, and so they will bundle you to jail for trying to get people to think morally. And so even in your church, they can shut your church down because a gay person stood up and said, you say something that looked as if you were attacking him. And they will shut a church down because of one person. That is the level. You don't know what is happening in the world. There is evil. This is an evil age. This age you are in is an evil age. And if you don't realize it, it will swallow you up. You will think you are looking for a job. That job is a grave. Because when the gods of this world handle you, by the time you are old and resign from that job, thinking you have achieved all you have achieved, you will now discover that all your life you were a servant of another spirit. Then you will discover that what you called a job, it wasn't even God that gave you. It was a spirit that knew the only way to manage you is through your ego. So he gave you a job that will massage your ego. And he used your ego to enslave you for a lifetime. Until you realize it, you won't know what to do to be sane while you are on your job. High level demonic intelligence going on in the world. You may think you are zealous about succeeding. When these spirits come, they will set up anxiety in your soul, and that anxiety will keep you awake all night. You think it's hard work. By the time they finish manipulating and remodeling you, your anxiety will lead you to do anything to succeed. And at the end of the day, you will think you have a zeal for success. No, it's not passion for success. They have actually enslaved you. And when you get what you call success, you will now discover you can't stand for anything anymore. Because you have crossed the threshold. You can do anything now to succeed. And so you have become a puppet of success. And so anytime they want to tamper with you, they present something to you. You will call it new heights, but they are not new heights. They are actually new chains. But if you don't know the spirit of this age, you will not understand. You will say, me, I have this thing for success. No. I accept challenges. If there is a challenge, it has nothing to do with challenge. You have been remodeled. And so you will not know the difference between rest and zeal. You will not know the difference between rest and passion. Passion that is motivated by God. You will find yourself pursuing everything and anything. Sometimes it's just out of competition. And then you will not know what your soul becomes like. You are bastardized. This is why you need to understand the operation of the spirit of the age. Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We are not ignorant. I know I want to excel in ministry, but I also know the difference between passion for God and ambition for fame and power. I know I want to excel in business, but I know the difference between a quest to make impact and the desire to show that I'm better than everybody. Those things are thin lines. And when the spirit of the age comes, he will give you everything God can give you. But at the end of the day, you will lose your soul. And when Jesus sat down and summarized it, he said, what shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? This is what many are not aware of. Most of us pursuing the same thing. Most of us have the same result. But at the end of the day, we arrive there as different individuals. We started as Christians. Some we arrive as Christians. Others we arrive as sons of Belial. Others we arrive as thieves and rogues. Others we arrive as men without a conscience, because they gave up something before they came there. It is an operation of the spirit of the age. There are seven operations of the spirit of the age that I want to speak about tonight. And I'll take it one at a time. The first operation of the spirit of the age is deception. The second operation of the spirit of the age is self-preservation. You will find out that at the root of human action, you will trace and discover at least one or two of these things are there. What motivates the actions of men? Trace it to the root. If it is not God, you will find one of these things: deception, self-preservation. Number three, ungodliness. There are many people who are outrightly out against God. That's what powers their pursuit. To discredit. Hope you know, before Paul had encounters with God, he was highly ungodly. He wanted everything that would destroy the memory of Jesus Christ. That's what powers the zeal of many people. Number four, evil and wickedness. Sheer wickedness. You will find somebody, pursuing something aggressively. And when you find out why he's doing what he's doing with so much passion, it is just out of wickedness. There is somebody that must not succeed as far as he's breathing. And that's why he's doing what he's doing. And you will be shocked the way wickedness can push people. And you will be amazed. Somebody is doing something with so much energy. At the root is wickedness. Number four is pleasure. Number five, pleasure and carnality. You see the magnitude of pleasure. Somebody sits down, thinks and invents something. What power did his pleasure? There's a degree of pleasure he wants to have. And because of this pleasure, he can activate a depth of ingenuity that will overwhelm you. It's pleasure that motivates it. And you are wondering, can pleasure provoke wisdom? Yes. Can pleasure provoke passion to succeed? Yes. Most people, the reason they are running through life helter-skelter is because they want to amass some level of wealth. And when they are done, they will live all their lives in plenty. The rich fool said, I've gathered my barn. Now it is full. What is left for me is to rest and enjoy myself. And they looked at him from heaven. They said, you fool. That means the reason you are walking under the sun and under the rain is to come to a point where you will enter the frequency of pleasure non-stop. These are the things that power men. And you'll be amazed. What have these spirits done to us that degenerate our soul structure so much? Somebody is laboring night and day, it's not to make positive impact, it's just for pleasure. It's the spirit of the age. It's an operation of the spirit of the age. What number is that? Number Number five. Number six is quest for power. Nothing has driven men in this world like quest for power. Just to be in charge. Somebody said, everything a man does is to attain power. You see somebody with wealth, the wealth is not what moves him. What moves him is the fact that when he shows up, everybody should submit. And because of that, he can do anything. Some of the cars people buy is not because they love them. But if they don't arrive in those cars, you will take them for granted. And so, one man is coming, not because there is any security threat, but he has to come with 8 vehicles. And all of them are black tinted glass SUVs. And they are the latest Lexus. So when he shows up, there's a siren in front, there's a siren in back, at the back. There's no threat, there's no security issue. But if he doesn't come like that, cry. So that man is buying car. It's not because he loves cars. That car is what makes him feel in charge. Some people will buy a business class ticket. It's not because... if you know what the quest for power has done to people, you'll be amazed. And that's why many times when any spirit wants to negotiate with a man, most times the first point of bargain is power. Because they know you can hardly find a man that can say no to power. That's the most difficult thing to reject in this life. Power. Forget it when people stand up and tell you they are not interested in power. It's a lie. Very few men have been able to conquer the desire for power. And when power is given to such men, they empower others, not themselves. Very few have gotten there. It's an operation of the spirit of the age. And finally, it's insecurity. People are uncertainty. Uncertainty is what makes many people take the decisions they take. They are careful. They don't know what tomorrow holds. It's a sign of faithlessness. You'll find people take actions is out of uncertainty. They are too afraid of tomorrow that they will die today. It's what the spirit of this age does to men. There are just 7 I want to highlight. There are many. But for the purpose of this lecture, I talk about these 3. Remember, the foundation of all of this is what? Evil. Because this is an evil age. The God of this age is an evil God. And what he wants to achieve is what? Evil. If you know this, it will deliver you from a lot of unnecessary things. So let's begin with deception. There are 3 major provokers of deception that the spirit of the age deploys. Number 1, from demonic spirits. When the spirit of the age wants to activate deception, there are 3 major channels he uses. Number 1, there are demonic spirits. Deception does not just happen. They are sponsors of deception. And so I will show you the sponsors of deception. And I will show you the tools that are used for deception. And then I'll show you what to do in order to live above deception. Praise God. So the first sponsors of deception that the spirit of the age deploys are evil spirits. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 9, the Bible said, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." So when you find people walking in deception, there is a spirit sponsoring it. And one of the things that have affected the body of Christ the most is the operation of deception. In fact, today it's difficult to speak truth because of the level of deception that we are in. Many times you attempt to speak the truth, you are crucified before you start. Because deception has been enthroned. It is now the order of the day. Go to certain places and dare talk about morality. And see what happens to you for mentioning it. Because everybody, that has become the standard of the people there. And so you cannot dare take a stand. against immorality. You will see the way they will fight you, including the people who are not immoral. They feel you are trying. I was shocked when I heard the American president address the nation and he said, this is a bad day for America. What was the bad day? Abortion was abolished. It was a bad day that abortion was abolished. And a president of a nation that was once built on morality, will stand up and call it a bad day. Why is it so? He said, the ideology of America is to fight for the interest of Americans. And because most Americans want abortion, it doesn't matter whether it is morally right or wrong. As far as it's concerned, it's a bad day. It took years of battling to achieve that. But when deception has been enthroned, when good happens, it becomes a bad day. Go to certain parastatals in Nigeria and try to speak against bribery and corruption and see what happens to you. The first thing they will do to you is that they will remove your file and hide it for 10 years. You will not be promoted. You have been promoted too fast. That's why you think you can talk. And when they hide the file, they will take you to a village where there's no light. Stay in that village and serve for 5 years. When you are done serving without electricity, then they will ask you after 5 years, what were you saying 5 years ago? You will now apologize and say, no, I was a child. Because you don't know the battle we are fighting. Maybe most of us are students, so we don't know what is happening. Why do you think many things cannot work? Try to speak and say light will be stable in this country and see who comes after you. You think the Mikano James that are coming into the country is not somebody that is not somebody's business? As far as they are concerned, for you to stop their business, it's better this country is in total blackout. It doesn't matter how many businesses cannot start because they don't have enough power for production. As far as it's concerned, the Mikano James must keep coming to Nigeria because that's where he gets his money from. And he has no concern what happens in the country. When deception is enthroned to advocate truth becomes a stand for war. Because when you start, you'll be a victim. And everybody will rise up against you, including your family. That's when you will discover those who are benefiting from it. You will be shocked that the people they will send to you first are your family members. And they will ask you, what do you think you want to do? It's an operation of the spirit of the age. And it has affected every strata of our economy. Go to the universities today and find out how many people come to the exams without leakage. Find out. If you read and you are intelligent, you have become a victim for being intelligent. If they come to the exam hall and you don't allow them copy, it's a problem. And I'm not saying something that unbelievers do. I'm talking what happens among pastors of fellowship. You will see fellowship president sweating. What is he doing? He's copying from somebody's answer script. And when he's done copying, he will show up in the evening and say it's miracle service. Deception has been enthroned. I'm telling you, that's why, you know, Jesus said, we were taught from scriptures in John 16:33. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And because he overcame the world, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he said, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. That means he has the potential to overcome the world. But when you get to the book of Revelation, they didn't award Christians. There's no reward for a Christian. There is only reward for overcomers. Those who have lived above the oppression of the spirit of the age. You can be a Christian for 90 years, there will be no reward for you. Because there's no reward in heaven for Christians. There are only reward for overcomers. And for you to overcome, you must defy the oppression of the spirit of the age. That's why Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. There's too much deception. We have not won the battle over deception. And the first agents of deception are demons and the devil himself. I showed you already from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from chapter 4, verse 3. He said, people are deceived because what the spirits do is to blind their eyes. And some people can no longer distinguish between good and evil. Some people can no longer tell what is truth from what is a lie. And so they just operate based on what they feel. And so long as they feel good about it. Sometimes when you watch reality TVs, you'll be amazed. Or you watch some of these talk shows or evening hangouts, you'll just be amazed. A lady showed up the other day. I stumbled on a program. And she, a lady who is a trained medical doctor, told the father that she feels like she needs more money. And so what she wants to do is to quit the medical profession and become a stripper. And this is a world where deception is so enthroned that if you are a parent, be careful. Because if you attempt to correct your child the way of scripture, you may end up behind bars. The Bible said foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. It said the rod of correction will drive it out. Those days when I was a teacher in secondary school, that was what every student knew me with that scripture. Foolishness. When you err immediately, your classmates will just say, foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. But if you use the rod of correction in America, the prison will also correct you. The father begged his daughter, and there was nothing he could do about it. So they had to come to an agreement that when she's 40, she will stop. You can't say anything. If you try it, you are in trouble. Even you, who is the father. That's called deception. It has taken over the system. If you want to raise a child in certain nations now, you need God to encounter you and give you strategy. I'm not saying, forget I'm calling one or two nations. It's just coming spontaneously. It's happening everywhere in the world. If you don't know these things and prepare yourself, your Christianity will last for 2 hours after you give your heart to Christ. Because if you are not careful, the person that led you to Christ will rape you. And then you now say, wait, what happened? I thought I gave my heart to Christ. The person that led you to Christ will rape you. Because he's just waiting for you to lower your guard. The moment you lower your guard, the preacher will preach 2 gospels in 1 day. No wonder Paul say, you are cursed. You are, even if we are an angel, you are cursed. Deception. That's what's raining. And they are sponsored by spirits. They are not normal. When you see people deceived, don't just come and start arguing with them and say, how can you not know this simple thing? They are blinded. That's why we intercede heavily before we do anything in this kingdom. Because people are not, you think logic is, you, even you didn't understand it by logic. It took the unveiling of the spirit for you to understand it. And so when you find people walking in error, don't be offended. Pity them. They are slaves. And they are slaves of deception. Number two. Now, the way spirits advance deception is through 4 channels. Number one is through worries. When a spirit wants to lead you into deception, he activates anxiety in your spirit. So when you see what you need to do, you will not be able to, you will not be stable enough to make that decision. Even though you know this is the right thing to do, you won't have the stamina. When a spirit wants to bring deception to you, he will bring anxiety. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. The moment anxiety comes in, you are about to fall. Because the spirit is painting a false image to you. And because he knows if you contemplate it spiritually, you can find the truth. He puts a lot of anxiety. So before you check things out in the spirit, you take decision. Many times when you look back, you discover you have erred and you have gone to a point of no return. Anxiety is one of the channels through which spirits provoke deception. Don't make any decision under pressure. No matter what the spirit does to your soul, stand your ground. Pray first. When you pray, you will discover the anxiety will be demolished. You will now see from the realm of God. If you are not seeing from the realm of God, you are deceived. In the natural, it may be true, but in the spirit, it may be a lie. And many times, what will make you take such decisions until it becomes your lifestyle and your mindset is when you allow anxiety to rule you. It will make you take decisions that are not spiritually logical. Number two channel that spirits use to advocate or advance deception is ego and pride. When things begin to happen, and a spirit instead of letting you judge the facts of the thing, and rather begins to tell you, are you the one there? Be careful. When it's no longer about the fact of the matter and it's about you, be careful. A spirit is about to throw you off guard, because many times when a spirit wants to deceive you, he magnifies you to yourself so much, and you feel you are what you are not. And in that delusion, you take decisions that are far from reality. Somebody says they said something, or somebody spoke to somebody about, keep calm down. Don't quickly say, how dare this person? Wait, it's not about how dare. What are the facts of the reality? Straighten the matter out. The moment you start saying, me, you are falling. Because the spirit is trying to magnify you beyond you. And the moment you are too magnified, you can no longer judge the facts of the matter. If you don't learn this quick, you will be a victim many times. And many times is when you have journeyed far in life, you will discover you were used in the past. And people will use you to achieve their own aim. Deception. There is a technology that works it. Anxiety is one of it. Ego is another. Number three is ambition. A spirit wants to deceive you. The way he will build ambition in your spirit, you will suddenly get to a point you will be so dissatisfied, even when you are doing well. Imagine what God is doing with us now. We are 5 months here. This is the 6th month. 23rd of this month will be 6 months. Do you know it's possible for us to come to a point and say, no, why is this not working? Why is that not working? Why is that not working? That's why sometimes when people do mistake, I just smile. It took certain people 1 year before they had a choir. It took other people 1 year before they have musical instruments. And if you are not careful, somebody is playing on the keyboard and it does something wrong, and you are like, what kind of deception is in your spirit? The spirit is letting you know that you should have passed this level. How are you here? Why are you? Do you know that you who is saying you should have passed this level, some of your mates are in the grave? That is another level that they also passed that level, but they passed it downward. You stand up, you say, why am I here? I'm not supposed to be here. Can you imagine my life? Do you know somebody is in coma now that you are talking? Maybe if you are in coma and they put a pipe through your nose and they are feeding you through your nose, they are changing your urine through tactica, you will wake up properly. That you are awake, you can't thank God and through thanksgiving go forward. There are certain people, their problem is that their friend is succeeding. And they say, can you imagine? This person has succeeded. This person is succeeding. That means if the people around them didn't succeed, no problem. But because the people around them are succeeding, they are failing. That somebody else is succeeding does not mean you are failing. You're on different paths. Your timetable is different. What God wants you to do, somebody else is still with the mantle. And God is waiting for the person to leave before you are coronated. 2 kings can't be coronated at the same time. And meanwhile, the other person who is succeeding may be a foot soldier. You are trained to be a general. Imagine you are in the army. Somebody who is in a recruit is promoted from a lance corporal to a corporal, from a corporal to a sergeant. And you who is an officer, you are saying, how can you be promoted 3 times in 1 year? Even after 30 years of that man's promotion, he won't come to where you are now. But you can't see what God is doing with you. It's deception. Very soon, it will lead you to make wrong decisions. And some of those decisions will be junctions in your destiny that you can never correct. That's how deception works. Ambition. You don't know when you become so dissatisfied with what God is doing, your life becomes full of lamentation. And the devil will just sneak in and start giving you creative ideas. Creative ideas. And those ideas will dislocate you from your destiny. By the time you turn back, you are in another world. You will never return again. It's called deception. These are the things spirits use. They just weave it into your soul. Weave it. If I tell you things we've heard, some people will come to you and say, I don't want any. Nowadays, you are careful to say things. Because you wake up on Facebook and you say, Apostle Mike said this. So because I don't want to be quoted out of context. People will tell you things. You will go to the mirror and say, am I the one they said that thing? You will just have to go to the mirror and tell yourself, what they said is a lie. They are trying to hype me. I refuse to be hyped. I refuse to be flattered. I am where God says I should be. When deception comes, you will never recover. If you fall to it, and it comes through ambition, be careful to follow God. God is leading you. Be so satisfied. There are many Bible teachers today who have become evangelists just because they find a friend or a brother travel to 3 meetings and they have left their calling. There are many businessmen today that have joined politics because they saw their brother became a counselor and everybody is hailing him. They gave him a chieftaincy title. They too must enter politics. Don't just follow what God is. If you allow ambition, the devil will make a mess of your destiny. Number four, what spirits use to provoke deception is ignorance. One of the things that affected us deeply is incomplete knowledge. Many people know something about something, but they don't have a definite knowledge about it. You hardly find people that have an acute understanding about many subject matter. When you mention something, they know something about it. And because you don't have exact knowledge, you become a prey. When the devil came to Eve, he said, did God really say? The moment she said really, and the lady had to think through, she discovered there were gaps in her understanding. Many times the reason we are prone to deception is because we don't pay the price to build exact knowledge. If there is anything or anywhere God places you, make sure you pay the price. Sit down and have accurate understanding, because half knowledge is more dangerous than no knowledge at all. Somebody was teaching along this line and he gave us an illustration. I studied chemistry and he said sodium chloride, that means a mixture of sodium and chlorine in the ratio of 1:1 is what produces a common salt. However, sodium alone is a dangerous poison. Chlorine alone is a terrible poison. So if you carry chlorine and drink, carry sodium and drink and say I've drank both, you will die immediately. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They know something, but they don't know enough. Somebody was teaching, he said, if you score 39%, you have an F. It doesn't mean you didn't score marks. You scored some marks, but you didn't score enough. And so when demons want to deceive you, most times they will come to the area or areas where you have little understanding. And so they will exploit it. This is why if you want to be shielded from deception, you need exact knowledge. Because one of the agents of deception in the last day are spirits. And they will use many channels to bring deception to you. When you are having anxiety, know you are about to be deceived. That anxiety will make you, cause you to make uncalculated decisions. It's later on you will discover that there are lots of gaps in what you thought was accurate. Many times, ignorance will cause you to fall cheaply to deception. Many times, ambition, you were too eager that you didn't notice the little things, the I's that needed to be dotted and the T's that needed to be crossed. And then many times pride and ego. Every time a spirit finds these 4 things in a man, that man is a prey for deception. He's so cheap, he can do it any day, anytime. And so you want to be shielded from it, you must address these 4 things in your life. This is how you tie the knot to deception that comes from spirit. The second agents of deception are men. In 2 Timothy 3:13, the Bible said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse,
deceiving and being deceived. In Matthew 24 verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." Are you seeing the rank? In Revelation 12:9, it said the devil deceived the whole world. When it has to do with men, it said what? They will deceive many. There are degrees of deception. And when men want to deceive, these are some of the things they do. Number one, they begin to hoard truths from you. When a man begins to hoard truth from you, know that it's up to something. They tell you some and they keep some, because they want you to walk in darkness. They know that so long as you walk in ignorance, you will not have the authority over deception. And so when men want to come out of deception, they need truth. Because the absence of truth is what makes you cheap and a prey of to deception. And so men who deceive, they deliberately hoard truth. Number two, men who deceive, they exaggerate. The reason is because they want to create a false impression of themselves to you. That way, whatsoever they tell you, you will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. That's why no matter how you respect a man, anything that is not consistent with the truth of God's word, don't take it. If I come here and tell you something and it's not consistent with the spirit of scripture, respectfully refute it. Don't be a victim of deception for any reason at all. The Bible said the Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? He said when Paul spoke to them, they didn't say, Paul went to the third heaven. No! They said they searched the scriptures to find out if what Paul said was true. You'll find exaggeration anywhere. Be careful. Something else is about to be said, because exaggeration precedes deception. It makes you lower your guard so that you can accept whatever you are told, even if it's a lie. This is why exaggeration is one of the tools that the spirit of this age uses. Every time you find exaggeration consistently, another spirit apart from the Holy Ghost has taken over. It's called the operation of the spirit of the age. And if the devil is leading you or beginning to cause you to exaggerate consistently, take a retreat. You are about to fall, and you will fall to a point of no return. Because when you think it is by exaggerating that a point can be communicated, a lying spirit has entered you. You may not have realized it. Wait for a while. After you exaggerate, you will find yourself say something that is not true because you want to achieve something, and you will be shocked that you said it. And if you don't have the fortitude to come out and repent and say, "I'm sorry, this thing I say is not true," after a while, you will discover that you become fake. From being fake, you become diabolic. And from being diabolic, you become heartless, because the spirit of the age has taken over you. Let nothing on earth make you exaggerate. Say it simple as it is. That is where the excellency of God's power is. If it is simple and God manifests, it's more beautiful. Number three, when men deceive, they bring lies. This is why you need discernment. That when somebody is talking and you are listening to the person, you'll be able to tell if it doesn't add up. Not because you have any empirical evidence, but you hear somebody, you know, no, this thing doesn't add up. And then beyond the fact of the story, you should be able to tell the reason why the person is saying what he's saying. It means your discernment is intact. If you don't have it, you are a prey. And if you get to a point where you also begin to use lies as a tool, you have become an agent of deception. You may think, even if it's for a noble reason, don't lie. Say the truth and let that thing not happen, instead of lying to make it happen. God is not sending liars to advance his kingdom. And so you don't have to lie to help God to achieve something. Say the truth, let it not work. It means that it's not God's time. When you say the truth, you are transparent, and you have the integrity to stand on the truth. Even if it is slow, wait for it. when it happens, it will happen in a grand way. And God will still honor you as much as he would have honored you, even if you took that other quick route you thought you would have taken. Number four, deception, deliberate misinterpretation of facts. When deception comes, people deliberately misinterpret facts because they want to achieve something that they would not have achieved going the route of nobility. And number five, deception is heresy. Pick and choose. They pick the one that favors them and ignore the one that does not favor them. When you begin to do pick and choose on any subject matter, you are a deceiver. These are the channels through which men deceive people. And when you find these things happening, even if it's happening on the altar, know that that is the spirit of the age at work. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never exaggerate. The Holy Spirit will never lie. The Holy Spirit will not hold truth from you. The Holy Spirit will not deliberately misinterpret facts. And the Holy Spirit will not advocate for heresy. When you find these things happening, even if it is a bishop or an apostle or an archbishop doing it, know that is the spirit of deception at work. That is not the Holy Spirit. If you can shield your spirit, lock it up quickly. Because if you don't do that, after a while, you will become a victim of deception. And if you become a victim of deception, you will lose the track of your destiny. You will fail in the demands of your ordination. These are the operations of the spirit of the age. And I can tell you that these things have found their way to the pulpit. Most of the things I've shared here, they happen in the pulpit much more than they happen in political corridors. Many times when we hold politicians to ransom, it is during their manifesto before the election. Most of them, when they get into power, they get tired, they do what they want to do. But on the altar, you will have to quote the previous lie with a new lie. And you have to keep lying to support the lies you've told before, for you to constantly have influence over the people. This is why it is more dangerous on the altar. And wherever you find these things, know that the spirit of the age is at work. You may not come and find an idol tied somewhere. This is as dangerous as a herbalist fully dressed in his regalia and chanting incantations. There's no difference in it. All of them are the operations of the spirit of the age. Finally, the operation of the spirit of deception works through circumstances. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible said, "And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in and choking the word of God, making us become fruitful." That means wealth, riches, sustains the power to deceive. You were simple and humble, small in your own eyes, until you became a millionaire. And suddenly, you began to create another impression about yourself that you are not. Riches sustain the power to make you behave like that. And so every time you are entering into a new level or you are handling a new thing, be very careful. Those things come with their spirit. Wealth comes with his spirit. That's why the Bible teaches us clearly in 3 John verse 2. He says, "I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth." You know what that means? You are not permitted to have more money than you know God. Because if you have more money than you know God, that money will deceive you. That money will become your God. And it doesn't just apply to money, it applies to every other thing. There are certain people that are not supposed to handle certain phones, as small as a phone is. That phone will provoke vanity from their soul that they never imagined existed. And they will build their relevance on the handset. And because of that handset, they will fall woefully. Certain persons' car, as small as a vehicle is, the moment they got that car, the car will suddenly begin to deceive them. And they will feel they are what they never thought they were. And because of the new status they assume on account of the car they now possess, you will find out that their actions will change, their response will change, their operations will change. And you'll find out, why are you suddenly high-minded? He now has a black Jeep. Why are you suddenly high-minded? He has the latest iPhone. Why are you suddenly high-minded? He has a Samsung, a latest Samsung. He can flip it and close it. And so he's sitting in the public. He doesn't want to read anything from the phone. He opens the phone and he closes the phone. Why? So that the next person sitting will know that they are not on the same level. It's deception. It provokes vanity from the soul. When he wants to speak, he will put three phones on the table. One is iPhone. One is Samsung. Another one is... And then when he's talking, he's talking to you on the strength of the phone that is on the table. So that you will know that if I'm carrying three phones, then you should be careful who is talking. Be very careful who is talking, because it's not an ordinary person. And when you are done with him, that conversation will not end. You must have to follow him out to see the vehicle that brought him. When you are done seeing the vehicle, you now tell you, the Lord will help you. It's the spirit of this age. I'm saying this so that you will check it out of your soul. When it starts happening to you, say, Jesus, help me. My value is not in things. My value is in you. Phones can't define me. Cars can't define me. I refuse to be ruled by the spirit of the age. That's how you live. Consciously. Because simple things can become the reason why you will fall. It's called the operation of the spirit of this age. Is it good to have good things? Yes. And I'll show you from scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth to every man liberally that he may enjoy. So it's good to have good things. The Bible said he will not withhold any good thing from you. But when those things begin to define your value, deception has entered your soul. You are about to fall. Because even circumstances, inanimate circumstances, have the power to deceive you. A car may never talk to you, but a car may deceive you for a lifetime. Sometimes it's even the places you go to. Because you just landed in Heathrow Airport, you take a shot, and you must take the shot where they write the name of the airport, so that the people must know the particular continent you enter. Because now they need to understand that levels has changed. Once upon a time we were together, but now God has helped us. And so when you come, you are talking. There is no example that has anything to do with UK, but when you talk for 5 minutes, you will reference when you were in the UK. You know, when I was in the UK, now that COVID has come, at least we will now keep quiet a bit. Because if you call some nations, you will be quarantined. Yeah, the last time I was in Dubai, you know, these things don't happen in Dubai. Who asked you about Dubai, sir? Well, how did Dubai come into the subject? Deception. 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 They feel when they talk like that, they condition people. And actually, it's a sign of vanity that you are defined by things. Meanwhile, that city you went to and you are celebrating is somebody else's village. Do you know the danger of this? I show you. Number one, the danger of deception is that it blinds you from God, and it blinds you from the things of the spirit. This is why nowadays, if you like, preach about hair, people can't repent, because deception has blinded them. When that lady wears that hair, it's not just because she's beautiful. If the hair makes her beautiful, and that's good. If the hair makes her look good, that's good. But nowadays, they don't wear hair to look beautiful and feel good. They wear hair now to suggest to you their class in life. And so even if you don't ask, they will tell you, this particular Brazilian wheat goes for 500,000. If you don't ask them, they will tell you the price. Because most times, they who wear it are the ones who know. And so when they come into our company, they will now tell you, do you know how much this watch costs? I said, we don't, what is the time? I want to know time. I'm not asking for price. Oh, this my watch, it will never stop. It was just gotten for $4,000. I didn't ask for the price. I say, what is the time? But they are blinded. And so if they come to church, those are the things that pursue them. When you start teaching how to gain more of these things, you are a good preacher. But when you begin to teach them how to separate from the power of these things, you become a boring teacher. Because as far as they are concerned, your message is too corrosive. And no matter what God is saying, they can't hear. There are many people who can never hear God just because of their phones. Some people come to church, they can't wait for church to close so that they will drive. Let their friends see the new car they bought. And that day, even if an angel stands on the altar, everybody will see that angel, they won't see the angel. Because this deception, it brings a scale on your eyes. You find out why you do 1,001 Bible studies, some people can never be on fire. It's deception. You find out why no matter the revival that hits the territory, some people can never be set on fire. It's because of deception. Because the only thing that gets their attention are those things that encourage their ego, their pride, their vanity. And those things are captured in the phones they use, the cars they drive, the hair they wear, the suits they wear. And when you are blinded, number two, you can never do the will of God. So when men are deceived, they can never do the will of God. Find out these egoistic people. Even when they give money, it's out of show and pride. It has nothing to do with love and compassion. They don't even care about you. Somebody can call you out and give you 10,000. Let them record it that he gave you this money. See him tomorrow and greet him. Get up! It has nothing, there's no connection whatsoever. It's just about the applause of men. How he will be perceived is the spirit of this age. And why am I sharing this? Because whether God will reward men or not will be dependent on the degree to which they overcome these things. Number three, the danger of deception is that it will rob you of eternal reward. When you start doing things because of these things I've outlined, you are finished. You are just wasting your life consciously. Because you will end up, when God comes, he doesn't judge your works. He judges the motives behind your works first. If the motives are right, then your works can be considered. If the motive is wrong, there's no need wasting his time with your works, because it will be burnt off. And so there are many people who may never receive reward, regardless of what they did for God. What a waste will it be that you spent your whole life serving God, and at the end of the day, you receive no reward because demons blinded your eyes. No, it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. When you go back home tonight, consciously tell yourself that this is an evil world. This is an evil age. And also tell yourself, nothing happening is a coincidence. There is a God of this world manipulating what is happening. And number three, tell yourself, this world will come to an end. And when it does, may you not lose out because of the oppression of the spirit of this age. And so, what are the agencies that advance the first oppression of the spirit of the age, which is deception? Spirits, men, and circumstances. And what are the things spirits do in order to provoke deception into your soul? Worry. And so when next something happens and you are worried, sit down and study your worry. Why are you so worried about this? Is it because it will not happen? Or is it because if it doesn't happen, you will lose something? If you don't begin to study these things, you will make the wrong decisions. You will make, this is why people put themselves under unnecessary pressure. We had a lot of billboards everywhere. And then God gave us Project 5 Million Souls, told us to do some crusades, and then we needed to buy some stuff. And we were going to tamper into finances that we shouldn't tamper into and put us under pressure. There was time, the time came to renew the billboards. The brother traveled. We didn't hear from him. They removed the billboards because when the time comes, they remove them. And when the brother called 1 week later, they were rushing, put the billboards back. And I said, well, the last time you checked, the feedbacks you got, how many came on account of billboard? We now discovered the least of all our evangelism stunts, the least aspect for now is billboard. And I said, okay, hold on first. Instead of that billboard, let's channel the money for this month for the crusade and see what happened. So we channeled the resources for crusade and we want 2,000 plus souls. And I said, ah, is this crusade more effective than this billboard? I said, okay, we allow the billboard for now. When we have leftover, we'll go back to billboard. Somebody now called me and said, I didn't see your billboard again. What happened? I said, we have other more important projects. If you are not careful, you now say, what will people say? That my billboard is no longer up. Relax. That's not necessary. You didn't come to compete for billboards. When you have extra, spare, you have spare money, you can use it for it. But for now, one crusade saves more than 2,000 souls. It's more effective. So many times when you are worried, study your worry and find out the root of that worry. Sometimes the reason you are so worried is your ego. If this thing doesn't work, what will they say about me? No, it can't happen. Not because of what God is thinking. Not even because of the impact of what God wants to achieve. Demons use worry. Demons, they use ego. Demons use your ignorance in order to enslave you perpetually. And they also use your ambition. And then when it has to do with men, you have to be careful. Men use lies. Men use exaggeration. Men hoard information from you in order to keep you in ignorance. Men deliberately misinterpret facts. Don't just hear something and start shouting, "We said it." Wait, calm down. Study the facts for yourself. When they misinterpret facts for you, you may crucify an innocent person. And you will discover you are walking in deception. And then men also use heresy. They will look at a whole story. They will pick the part that favored their story. And they will leave the whole story. And they will take 2 seconds out of a 3 hours reality. And then you look at it and you are concluding. Don't be part of that generation. Find out the whole context and know exactly what happened so that you are not a victim of deception. And thirdly, when God is beginning to change your circumstances, be careful. Even your circumstances can deceive you. The new position you have entered can be the reason why you lose God. The new car you bought can be the reason why you lose God. The new relationship you entered can be the reason why you fail completely. Be very careful. There are many things fighting your soul, and one of the things they are using is the tool of deception. As you go back home, meditate on these things. And if there's any area that you are a victim, ask God to help you. Either because it is done to you or you are doing it to others, ask God to help you. Because if it doesn't happen, not too long, you'll become blind. You will no longer know what God is doing. You will no longer perceive the will of God. And then number two, you will no longer be in sync with the will of God. And number three, which is most dangerous, you may end up walking through time and not having reward in eternity. And what a wasted existence that would be. It will not be your portion to be a waste after time. When you get back into eternity at the end of time, you will have all the reward that God has predestined for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I have many things to share tonight, but obviously I can't go beyond here. But the first thing you need to be mindful of as an operation of the spirit of the age is the spirit of deception. And if you will ask God tonight for discernment, which is the only prayer we will pray, if you will ask God for discernment tonight, you will see the level of deception surrounding you. Even the actions you take, most of them full of deception. And if you are able to win the battle over deception, you will see the level of authority God will commit to you. The level of authority God will commit to you. You will be amazed. It will be almost impossible for you or difficult for you to accept it. Deception is so subtle. As the name is, so it is. That even by dressing up, your dress code can be deception. To create a false impression is that subtle. And when that begins to happen, something has gone wrong with you. So subtle that even the message you are preaching is full of deception. You just want to get the people to a vulnerable state so that you can exploit them. And so you find somebody talking about the blessedness of giving. The blessedness of giving. He teaches on the blessedness of giving until it looks as if giving is a bargain with God. And when he's done teaching it, he wants 10 people to give 1 million. And because of people's appetites and self-centeredness, they have heard this thing, they want to bargain with God. And they give 1 million. This 1 million they are giving, it's not because they love God. They have heard the blessedness of giving so much that it has stirred their appetite for self-preservation. And so what should have been a teaching to edify becomes a message that activates lust in their spirit. And so 90% of the people are giving as a bargain. If God will give me 100% instantly, I better give 1 million now. Because 100% of 1 million is... That's where we are. Somebody is praying. The prayer is deception. As he's praying, he's trying to let you know his rank in the spirit. It has nothing to do with your circumstance. He's reading his rank so that when he's done, you'll be careful before you give honorarium. You'll be very careful. The honorarium you will give and how you will give it, you will be very careful. It's called deception. And everybody is learning it every day, learning it and running with it. Somebody wants to preach the message of salvation, the simplest message in the Bible. The other day we did a crusade and we gathered the first timers. These first timers were hoping that they will become, you know, workers so that they will grow. And then we went for first timers meeting. And a pastor was asked to teach first timers. And this brother began to talk about his dealings and his scars in the kingdom. You are teaching first timers about your scars and the perils that you've gone through for the name of the Lord. So that when they become church workers eventually, you will be the first man of God that their allegiance will be to. Paul said they make disciples after themselves. What has first timers got to do with the burdens of God, the scars and the dealings of the spirit? What is the meaning of scar? What is the meaning of burden? How does the first timer know that? And they are invoking stories of 17 years ago. After the first day, first timers reduced from 75 to 24. The second one he handled, they became 3. Because when they saw, the scars were too big for them. The burdens that the man of God has borne is too heavy. If they bear that burdens, they will die. Because The message the evangelist preached to them was quite simple. They came to church the first day, their hearing scars and body. They moved back. Evil preaching is deception. That's where we are. And you ask the Lord to deliver you from the spirit of deception, that you will not be deceived, and you too will not deceive others. Because you have not understood this because you heard the message. You understand this when your motive is purified. Because a man wins the war over deception when his motives are purified. Your motives. When you show love, why do you do it? When you give, why do you do it? When you pray, why do you pray? When you go out to preach, why do you do it? Your motives are wrong. You will do only the right things, but you have no reward. Because when God checks you, He will check your motives first. Our world is so corrupt. Even advice that elders give those days to help people become better, even advice now is manipulation in our generation. Take me, Lord, to your secret place, Lord. Take me by your hands to your holy place. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more. You this evening looks simple, but more than 90% of the believers today are slaves. And if you want to take an honest check, when you go out tomorrow, draw a diagram, a table. When you are done for the day, probe your actions and see the spirit that powers it, whether it is love and truth or whether it is deception. That's when you will know where you are truly going to in life. Deception is subtle, but at the end of time, it will rob men more than immorality ever did. Because it will be weaved into your operating system. You will think it, you will act it, you will live it. And the more harmless you appear, the more deceptive and destructive you will become. That's how powerful it is. Ask the Lord to help you 1 minute. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. There is a place my heart cries out for love. There is a place I am yearning for.
It is a place of your dwelling, Lord. It is a place of your dwelling, Lord.
There are two operations of the Spirit that fights deception. Number one is understanding, and number two is discernment. I don't have time to teach, but I want you to pray now in your understanding. Ask the Lord to grant you understanding and discernment. Understanding will help you to stand firm against deception, and discernment will help you to dictate it and to ward it off your life. Ask the Lord for it. Don't just nod your head. Ask the Lord for it. Ask the Lord for it. If you have understanding, you will know that even your tomorrow is in the hands of God. You will not be under pressure. If you have understanding, you will know that you don't need to cut corners to be great. Only God makes great. And if you have discernment, nobody can deceive you. Ask the Lord. He said, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. Go ahead and ask Him. If God truly delivers you from deception, you will be guaranteed of reward in eternity. So you don't end up becoming a Christian, suffer everything Christians suffer, and at the end of the day, not receive the reward that God has made available for Christians. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. May God help us not to preach or take any action that will make men honor and respect us much more than the honor God has put on our lives. And may God help us not to do anything to get men give out of the leading of, beyond what should have been the leading of the Holy Spirit or the revelation of truth. We will never come under such pressure. As the Lord helps us, we will live as honorable people with integrity, both in the house of God and outside of the house of God. That is when we will truly become witnesses of the last days. As you live, something new will happen to you. There will be a paradigm shift, and there will be a new decision taken that will make you to be confident in God and in all God has said to you, and walk with Him in integrity, believing that He will lift you up, and truly He will. And it will also bring you a quickening in discernment that will stop every operation of deception around you, so that you will walk in the light of the Word of God. Thank you so much for coming for the study tonight. God bless you richly. Maybe in the next 5 minutes, we take 3 questions and then we shut down. And if there are no questions, I'm most happy to step down from this platform. So you have a question, feel free. I want us to, just in case you have something you wish you would have asked before we finally draw the curtain. Any questions? Okay, there's a brother with a question. So ask a simple question. Let's not go to theology seminary. You know, people have very deep insights.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, my question is, you talked about ambition. So I want to know, is it wrong for someone to be ambitious? That's just my question.
Praise God. Now, that's a very good question, I'm happy that he asked it. There's nothing wrong with having an ambition if it culminates in one thing: well done, thou good and faithful servant. The problem with ambition is the direction of your ambition, and I explain it to you quickly. Number one, two people can have ambition to succeed, maybe in the oil company, Right? And the reason one of them wants to succeed is because he wants to improve humanity. The reason the other wants to succeed is because he wants to become the biggest man from his village. Both have the same ambition, but the essence or the motivation, the deciding factor is different. And God does not consider the ambition as wrong. God considers the reason for that ambition. And if the reason for that ambition is wrong, then that ambition will lead you to hell. So when we talk about ambition, maybe it's for want of words. There's nothing wrong with having an ambition. Because only a dead man is without ambitions. And for you to be effective in the kingdom, you must succeed at something. Because if you don't succeed at anything, there will be no channel for impact. And if you are doing something and you don't wish to excel at what you are doing, then you are already a failure before you started. Are we together? So there's nothing wrong with ambition, but let your ambition be sanitized. Let it be within the context and the confines of the will of God. Let it be for the benefit of humanity. If that is the case, then congratulations, you are doing well. But if it is about self, then that is wrong. That ambition is wrongly motivated. Have one more question, and then we shut down. The problem with questions is that when you start asking them, more inspiration starts coming.
Praise the Lord, church. The question is, what if someone passed through time and then the end, he has no reward? What happens to that man, even though he's a Christian?
Kai! 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 Maybe I will teach about the seven rewards of eternity. Because when we say rewards, right, people think that, no. One of the things God rewards men with in eternity is glory. And meanwhile, if you are out of your body, the only thing you have is glory. Glory is what defines a spirit. When you come out of your body, the quality of your existence in eternity is the measure of glory you carry. That is a reward. That's why all of us will not beam at the same frequency in Zion. Number two, authority is reward. The level of authority you command in the world to come. You see the way we are in this country now. Some people have governmental authority. They can just buy a private jet and fly to Dubai and go and relax. The weather is hot. So they want to go and sleep on the seventh floor of a building. They want to drink wine from above the cloud. Because of that feeling, they can spend 10 million and they won't feel it. Meanwhile, you, 10 million may be your saving for 30 years. That means the quality of your existence is dependent on the authority you command. Meanwhile, authority in eternity is also a reward. He said, because you have done well, take 10 cities. Have authority over 10 cities. So even in eternity, most people will desire things that won't happen. Others will desire things that will make it happen because authority level is different. So there are many things that characterize the world. That's why it's called the crown of life. It's authority. They accept us. So the quality of eternity is not appearance. The quality of eternity is actually reward. So if you don't have reward, Kai, it's a body. Have reward. Have reward. Have reward. That's why we labor in time. Have reward. Please, no matter what you do, please have reward. There are many people who don't have reward in time. That's why their children are sick. They die because they can't buy malaria drug that is 300 naira. You need reward in eternity so that you can have everything eternity is about. Are we done? Or somebody has quickly got an inspiration? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. All the days of your life you are preserved. Everything you lay your hands to do in righteousness is commanded to prosper. Go forward and be established. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.